Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Ooh, the Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here I am. Welcome to the show. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. We are in Los Angeles, California. It's a very special episode because we are actually doing an episode to honor the women who take the mic. I don't know if it's an initiative or like a special episode, but we're honoring women who take the mic. I'm taking this mic home with me. I don't own it, but it's part of what the episode is about, is that I get to keep this mic. And what we're really doing is we're celebrating with iHeart for International Women's Day, which falls on Friday, March 8th. And it's International Women's Day is very important, and it's starting to catch on in America, but it's like very important in other places. Brian, are you confused? Or
what's going on?
This doesn't say anything of relevance. This is like ad reads.
No, it does. It's on the bottom of the second page. Go to the second page and you'll find all about it.
Oh, I see. Women take the mic. Yes,
yes, we're taking the mic. And so for the special women's episode, we have a special woman guest.
Yes.
Holy shit. I know she's a woman because she's fucking pregnant right now.
Oh my God.
Well, not all women get pregnant though. I didn't want to say that.
No, they don't.
That's not. Yeah. There are some women who can't get pregnant.
Hashtag not all women.
Yes. But she is here with us today. I love her so much. She's, I would consider you one of my closest friends. We don't hang out that much, but like,
I've never been more honored. I literally listen to your podcast. I consider you my best friend.
Oh my God. Oh, like, I love you so much. It's Esther Pavitsky, everyone.
Love you. Thank you. Hello.
One of the funniest people ever. One of the most naturally talented, just cool girls ever. I was just talking about how much I love you to someone, because you just to Rick Glassman, actually. I was talking about how you embody your nemesis. I was really trying to sell you to him. He was he's still on the fence, but I was just saying, like, you're just so cool. Like, you just like are who you are, which is like the best way to be as a woman, is to just not try to be anything except what you are. And you are just, you're so cool. You're like the coolest person I know. I think you're up there with a couple other people in my life that are cool, but like, you are probably one of the coolest people I know.
That is so nice. And I actually do believe you, because you are so supportive and nice to me. And I look at you like this cool, popular girl. Like, she's like the cheerleader. And I'm like, wait, why is she so nice? But like, I believe you. And also, Nikki,
thank you.
I saw your set. Your stand-up is so good. And even though it's basically, a lot of it is like completely fighting against what I'm currently doing with my body, like, I am on your side.
Yeah,
like, I'm on your side with everything.
You are, and you're like, you're very pregnant right now. Are you 8 months pregnant?
I'm 8 months. Wow. Yeah. It's so embarrassing.
God, thank you for being here.
No, don't.
I saw you the other night at the Comedy Store, and you got out of your car, and my boyfriend and I were walking into the store, and you were getting out, and you were like, you just started laughing when you saw us, and you were like, it's so embarrassing. It's so embarrassing.
You're just waddling around. You're not a person anymore. You're just like a vessel. You realize what it's, we're not equal to men. Like, it's just.
Are you angry about it? Is there like, what are you feeling empowered by this?
I feel loving. I feel really loving towards the father of my child, which I'm glad he's enjoying it now, because once the baby comes out, I'm sure my hormones will go back nasty girl.
So things have changed. Like, you have become more gentle, and
I just feel really sensitive I'm like cleaning my house, which is weird. Whoa. I know
that's big for you. Maybe I need to get pregnant.
I like it's, it took like 8 months to do it pregnancy, but
you're just like nesting, you're getting the nest ready.
Well, I have not one single item purchased, but I am cleaning just for myself, I think.
Are you?
I hate
you're not ready?
Not even a little bit. I hate pregnancy so much that I realize there's something going on in my brain where I'm like, I'll just be pregnant forever. Like, this is my curse.
Yes.
And I'm in denial, and I haven't given a literal one thought as to what my life will be like when the baby comes.
Well, that sounds good, because it sounds like you're living, you're in the being moment. Present, which is what we all aspire to.
I should plan, though. Some people should plan.
Well, that's like the one thing that's guaranteed not to last. Like, sometimes people have migraines or like, what if this never goes away? What it, like a stomach ache, like nausea or something like that could, but this will definitely.
Pretty wild if it lasted longer than a few years. I don't know what pregnancy is like.
It's bound to be over within a month.
Wait, is it messed up to put you on the spot though and ask where is your head at on this subject?
I'm really good about not having kids. I really am. Like, you're not the only person who's pregnant in my life. Noah, our producer, who's not here with us right now because she's off getting married, but she is due in March, I think, or May. No, April. Something around there.
One of the months.
Yeah, maybe next year, May. I don't know, 2025. But she's also pregnant right now. My other friend, I have another friend who's pregnant. I'm hearing a lot about it. It sounds really hard. Bad. And I think I wouldn't be as, like... I think I would just be angry about the experience a little bit more. But
I really support your choice. Like, I always thought, like, oh, if someone was pregnant and had a baby, like, why are they not trying to convince me to do it? And now I see why. I'm like, oh, like, because I, for many years, was like, I don't want kids. Mm-hmm. And no one was ever like, you have to, which I was like,
oh, really?
Yeah, I was like, oh, you're just going to close the conversation there. but I kind of get it now. It's like, it's better. Life was better before so far.
Yeah, it hasn't even started yet. This is just...
I'm excited.
Oh,
you know,
you're going to be such a good mom.
It's going to be great, but I get your point of view.
How was it better before?
I mean, the physical discomfort is like, I could just go on and on. It's really, really challenging. And I'm a very selfish person. Like, when the plane is going down, no problem to put my mask on first. Like, that will never be an issue for me. And this is really a time in my life where, like, I cannot put myself first. Like, I can't just get high. I can't just, eat a big meal because my acid reflux will make me throw up. Like, there's so
caffeine
many comforts.
Too, right? Aren't you? You're dabbling.
Yeah, I'm dabbling. Okay. Yeah, I'm getting in
heroin,
there.
Heroin? Are you just
heroin
dabbling?
Heroin is safe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. I haven't heard anyone say you can't do it.
That's right.
It's not on all the lists that I see. I guess they just maybe assume you wouldn't. But if they don't say no, I'm going to do it. We do have to talk about women like in this segment.
Generally.
And I want to talk about, because we're celebrating International Women's Day, March 8th. Does this experience being pregnant make you really proud to be a woman? Like, are you learning how strong women are in the experience of it? Are you, like, having newfound respect for your mom? And literally every... now that my friends are going through pregnancy, I was at the Super Bowl and I was looking at the thousands of people there and I was like, every single person here, there was a woman who was like, oh! Like, for every person. Like, someone had to go through a whole pregnancy and have a baby shower.
It's mind-blowing.
And, like, have people touching your stomach in public. It's just, like, it's amazing that there's a strong woman behind every idiot that you see at a stadium, like, event.
I do agree with you. And I also am totally seeing that differently. Like, I'm respecting my mom more. I'm like, and all moms, because look, let's be real, moms are pretty lame. They're pretty lame.
It's
pretty lame to be a mom, okay? We all
like
know
in
that.
What do you mean?
Like, it's just mom culture could
it's
really use
nauseating.
A rebrand.
Yeah, it really could.
Like,
it's like overlapping with Karen culture. A little bit.
Yes.
What culture?
Moms Karen. And Karens.
Yeah,
you have to be a
that's
mom
a good
pretty much to be a Karen.
Yeah. By the way, I love weed. I also think weed culture needs a rebrand. I think that's
totally.
Embarrassing too. So it's not just anti-mom, but like, so I've always felt, you know, mom culture is a little lame, but going through this suffering and struggling, I'm like, because I really respect toughness in people because yes. I'm so weak. And I'm like, oh, this is, you have to be really tough. And like, oh, I'm just like, oh my God, every mom is so strong, so tough. Like they just go through all of this and I, and like no one respects them for it. No one cares. We just roll our eyes when their babies cry.
Yes, yes.
We're like, get your tit out of here. Like it's crazy how
said
we-
said that so many times.
How we treat moms. And then going through this, I'm like, oh, I'm such a little bitch. Like I, they are, they- Women are great.
Yeah. And you know what? Whether or not it's like the right decision for your life, like once you make it, you have to stick it out. There's no like taking it back. You can't divorce your baby. Like they can divorce you at a certain age, like Macaulay Culkin you, but like you are stuck with that. It's like that is really strong to me to take a chance that this thing you don't know if you're good at yet. You might have this instinct that I'm going to be good at it, but like you're doing this thing. Your husband can leave at any time if he wants. And like, mm-hmm. yeah, he'll feel like a piece of shit his whole life, but he can like kind of run away from it.
He just move on.
You really can't as a woman.
No, you're so trapped. I know it's, isn't it weird? Like, it's like, oh, she's trying to trap me. The only person who gets trapped in a baby making situation is the woman.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We got it all wrong.
Yeah. It just is really impressive to me what women go through to make another human. And that's, I'm too selfish to do it. I thought you
I'm
would
with
be too.
You. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I can't.
I fell for this. I really.
Was it your idea?
No, I think it was just, it was like my baby daddy, who I guess is technically my fiance, whatever he is. Mm-hmm. He's 45 and I was like, shit, he would be a good dad. I love him. He was never pressuring me at all, but I was like, oh, he'd be such a good dad. His age is getting up there. I'm like the only person that has a kid because like the man is getting old. But so I was just like, let's just, you know what else? I was like, let's just try.
Yes.
Because it might not happen. Uh-huh. And then.
And you just kind of want to see if you can.
Yeah. Do you ever feel that?
Yeah.
You
I think
do?
It all the time. I just, I mean, I've had really awful thoughts that I can't say right now because it's going to air on the radio. But once we get to the podcast segment of our.
I didn't realize
show,
it was going to be on the radio.
Yeah. So neither. We have to like keep it clean. Yeah.
Okay.
Everything's been great.
We said tits. Is that fine?
I think so. We might have to clean that up.
We
they might bleep
it,
but that's okay. But yeah, I definitely have had thoughts of like, I just want to prove that I can do it because it is so badass to be able to make a baby and to have one. And it seems to be, and it's a sign that you're youthful.
Oh, your stand up about it is so funny.
Thanks. Are you excited to, do you know what you're having?
It's a girl.
Hey.
Oh my God, an international woman.
I know, future woman.
What makes you excited about having a girl? What makes you nervous? Did you want a girl? I would want a girl.
Of course
so
I did.
Bad. Of course, yes. I know, when there are like gender reveals and the dads are always like so obviously bummed out when it's a girl. I'm always just like, you idiot. This is going to be so much easier.
I know, because the girl will love you. The little girl will love her dad like nothing else.
Little boys are demons.
Yeah.
They're chaotic monsters that destroy your home and your body and your family.
So cute. Yes.
She might not be that cute. Let's be real.
She's going to be so
cute. But she's
going to
be smart.
Yes.
That's what I'm counting on.
Oh, yeah, so smart.
She'll be smart. We're not like the hottest Jewish couple. but... So 2 years ago I got pregnant and had a miscarriage. Mm-hmm. And so after that experience, with this pregnancy, I was not thinking about gender at all. I didn't cross my mind because we were just like, oh my God, we just like hope it sticks, whatever. And then when I got the call and they're like, do you want to know? And I had, again, this whole time I hadn't thought about it. And she just goes, it's a girl. And I was like, it was like the best moment of my life. And my first thought was like, I should get out of this hot bath because you shouldn't take hot baths when you're pregnant. And I was just really happy. And I think I'm excited.
He would have stayed in if it were a boy. He turned up the heat. Well, let's just see what he can handle this. He's tough. He's a boy. Yeah. That's so exciting.
Yeah.
To have a girl. And so wait, so tell me.
I want to recreate my whole life onto it, obviously.
Absolutely.
I want to be a dance mom.
Well, okay, so what do you wish for her? Do you want her to be like? What would you like? What are things that you want to redo for her and not have her experience? Or what are things that you what do you want for your daughter as
I
a woman in this world?
Just want to have my own life too. Is that a really bad answer?
No, You want to set an example of a woman who can have it all?
Well, we all know that no one can have it all, right? Is that, have we busted that myth yet? I don't know.
You can't. There's no way.
But Hillary Clinton.
She did it.
I don't think she did. I think she famously didn't get it all.
She got it all.
I want her to have a very close relationship with her dad so that mommy can still go tour.
Yeah. You want to still be able to tour?
Yeah.
I think it's such a cool look.
He's a writer.
Okay, so he stays put.
Kind of, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, he stays put for the most
great.
Part.
That's great. I would want to keep touring too, and I would. Remember Bonnie McFarlane used to bring her baby like, to the comedy clubs, and she grew. She's so cool. She's such a cool child.
I definitely, I don't want to become a person who is just, like, a mom 24/7 and is like entertaining, and like I read on Reddit a lot these like moms that are like, I'm so bored, I'm just playing baby games all day. I'm like, that
regretful parents, that subreddit. Don't go on that one.
Really,
dude, that's, I frequent that one to like help myself through my doubts.
Oh, I need to look at that to prepare myself. No,
it's all people who wish they could Casey Anthony but can't, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's all people that have that same mindset of like, why did I do this, why aren't I free, like I regret this, please don't do this. So I would not recommend going on
it's just
for people like me who need to like not do it just because they're feeling pressure, and so they need to be.
I think that what I am doing, my mindset is I'm going into this with very low expectations. I'm fully like, I might hate this. I'm not the kind of person that always dreamed of being a mom. It's more of like an experiment. And look, if grandma and grandpa have to move out here and take the lead,
they totally are going to.
That's gonna have to.
That's great. You love your parents.
Plans. In case I'm a Reddit regretful parent, we have backup plans.
Yeah,
where do they live?
You're
Chicago,
chill.
But okay. We'll work hard and get them a house out here.
Sure,
we're gonna really love that. You're not prepared for this at all. And someone out. I love it. I love that you're just like, these are my favorite types of parents. The ones that are just like, yeah, we'll see, we'll figure it out, because you really will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
no one really knows what
people
they're doing.
Figured it out in the woods.
Yes,
people had nothing but rocks and sticks, and they still survive. We're all here.
Yeah. I mean, you are very close with your parents. Like, do you feel like they parented you or like put thought into raising you, or was it just kind of like.
Not really.
Yeah, me either.
I look back and I think that's probably why I'm a comedian and have low self-esteem, is because they didn't read the books that they should have. Someone has a great joke about like. Someone said, like, you know, they don't write. Someone's mom had said, like, you know what? Sorry, I messed up with you. There's not a book on how to be a good parent. It's like, no, there's many. You could have read so many. But yeah, I think that, they raised me to be smart and confident and like really believe I could do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important.
Yeah.
But I think I know how to raise. I could make a Taylor Swift if I had a child.
Oh, really?
Do you want to know how to raise a daughter that is
lock him in a room with a guitar and say you can't eat until you can play?
That's true. Well, that's the North Korean way.
Yes,
but there's other
ways.
North Korea should write a book if they were allowed to read them. They should. It's just you have to make them believe that everything they do is not perfect, but with enough hard work it can be, and that you're capable of hard work. You might not be the most talented at this thing, but you know what you can do is you can always work hard. You can work harder than everyone else. Because that is something that like kind of...
Wait, did your parents teach you that?
No, but I figured out myself. I was not talented growing up naturally. I wasn't a natural at things, right?
I relate to you with that.
Weren't you like a dancer and stuff?
Yeah, but that's hard work. That's not talent.
You weren't just like
I took a million classes and worked my ass off.
Yes.
Like I'm totally with you on the not talented.
Kids need to be told they're like, everyone's like, you're special, and then when you're a little girl you start to see people have natural talent or have natural looks, and you just think like, I should just give up and I just keep looking for something that I have a knack for. And thankfully I found comedy, which I did have a knack for. But if I wouldn't have found that, I would have felt like a huge failure. Mm. But what I wish someone would have told me early on is like, you're not good at singing right now. You're not good at dancing or all these things that you want to be good at. But just work really hard and you can be as good as anyone else that's just born with it.
I absolutely agree.
And then you need to be told you're amazing at everything. Like you are so, like you're so great, and like we support you no matter what you do. Failing is such an important part of the process. Like no judgment, no like, why did you do that?
Yeah.
None of that bullshit, just all, none of that BS, just all Just everything's okay. Failure is a part of the process. It's good. You need to fail. Oh my gosh, thank God you failed at that. Do you know why? Because that girl got that and you didn't. You're going to be better off because of it.
I feel so healed listening to this. Yes.
I just know that that's the ticket, man.
And you can't be cool in high school.
That's
a big mistake.
You got to get it.
If you're cool in high school, your whole life's going to be shit.
Well, you know what I also think on like similar to that is if you get all the, well, this is just me talking shit about people I went to high school with, but like the people who got the leads and the plays like all the time really easy, then they kind of, they like go out in the real world and they...
I know where they are.
They can't handle the rejection and they quit. Yes. But you and me, we were losers.
We were getting rejected in high school and we didn't go to performing arts high schools. Yeah. Like right. We were like not up against the best.
But you don't want to be a loser either. You don't want to be a loser. You got to be in the middle somewhere. Because if you're a loser, if you're too low, you're not going to be able to climb out of that hole in time.
Yes.
But if you're so cool and you're surfing all day and everyone's trying to have sex with you in high school, you're going to fail. You're going to be a loser adult.
No, but think about the quarterback. Think about Mahomes and Kelce.
If you can make it to the NFL, if you can make it onto Broadway, then you're different.
Yes.
But for all the regular people, you don't want to be the coolest regular person in high school.
No.
Well, I want to ask you about this.
At the bar in town.
Actually, I could actually ask you, like, you seem like someone, I want to phrase this in a way that doesn't sound like it's like a backhanded compliment because I hate the way some people can say these things and it sounds the opposite of what I want to say.
You are
so admirable. You're so cool. And I think your coolness and beautiful and watch you and I just like am kind of in love with you. And I think it's because, and you're so, you're not trying to be anything you're not. Like you're interested in like cool things and pretty girls and wanting to be that. But you seem to have, you're not like mad at yourself for not being the things that you aren't. Whereas I feel like I internalize a lot of that, like, why was she born with that and not me? And like, I must be bad because I don't have that thing. And it corrodes my soul when I get jealous. And you can admire things without being mad that you aren't them necessarily. And you can still exist among these people and therefore be as cool as them.
This is interesting because, okay, as a comedian, don't you sort of feel like all of the things about you that are like flawed and messed up and like maybe even negative and just not like those get you from point A to point B in the career of comedy. Like when I go on stage, like my breakthrough moment in like an open mic in 2009 was just going on stage and being like, I have a yeast infection and like monologuing about that. Yes. And then that being the best that I had had in my first year of comedy. There was no jokes in it, but like, I just find that this flawed version of me, when I'm just honest, is like the best case scenario. It's like it gets me where I want to be, what I want. And like if I was trying to be something I'm not, I would fail.
Mm. Yes. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Like, don't you? Yes. You must relate to that because you go up there and you do it.
But I don't think I consciously have thought about it that way of like, oh, whoa.
Just being you.
When I like stop trying to be someone else and I'm my weirdest, most authentic version of myself that I might be really ashamed of, when that slips out because I just don't have the defenses for it anymore or out of desperation or just some moment on stage where you're like, yeah, I've had that moment on stage where I go, I got HPV. And I just tell a whole room of people I have HPV, including this girl who I know hates me and would love to know that about me. But I like gave her that. But I felt like I owned it. Now, like, you know, I have HPV because I told you. Good luck gossiping about it. I was the one who announced it to a room of people. Yeah. Like that has. Yes. When I'm able to stop trying to be anyone else and lean into the weirdest things about me. It does always. Yeah, like, that is my ticket.
I admire you so much. Like, if there was anything different about you, you wouldn't be Nikki Glaser. And, like, we need Nikki Glaser.
But then there's the times, though, Esther, where you get, like, yesterday I got so many compliments on, like, you look so pretty because I had come from a photo shoot early in the day. And so I was, like, fake eyelashes on all day, hair extensions all day. I just left my makeup, you know, spray tan. And the compliments come, like, you just get more attention from girls, guys, like, everything. It feels so nice. And it just is, like, more indicate. And it's not me. This was literally not done by me. I can't do what this is. And yet I'm getting all this love that I've always wanted. So it's, like, it reinforces to me, like, no, that stuff is important. You're getting this attention that feels really good. It makes you feel good. And I can't even, you know.
But just because it makes you feel good and gives you attention doesn't mean that it's important, you know?
Okay.
Like, and also, don't you ever look in the mirror when you're just in your sweatpants and you have no makeup on and you're like, I look so good. Like,
yes. But so, I do need a spray tan. I can be makeup free without a spray tan. And that, but I'm just saying those moments where I go, I look good without makeup, they happen, but I do have a spray tan when I have them. And if there were permanent spray tans to get, I would get one. 100%. I keep dreaming about this thing where you can like take a pill and it will like turn your skin orange.
Could eating carrots do that?
I think it does. I've seen that on TikTok.
Oh, yeah. Wow. How many carrots?
But a lot. I think you have to eat like 3 a day. I used to eat a lot of carrots when I was like anorexic and I did get a little orange. You just look sick.
3 carrots?
No, 3 whole carrots a day.
Yeah,
that seems like a, it's kind of annoying.
Reasonable.
I do want to compliment you though that you do spray tans and not regular tanning because so many people are still out there using the tanning beds.
That's crazy.
I know. So good on you.
Well, I'm too vain to do regular beds.
Yes, great. Love that. Love to hear that.
Love to hear it.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we're back. So my favorite woman in the world is obviously Taylor Swift, and she's had the most amazing year as a woman out there killing it more than anyone's ever killed it ever.
So and, cool. Setting the best
Time
example.
Magazine Woman of the Year, hardworking, friendly, nice, like... Now she's dating a guy that she used to kind of hide her relationship. Now she's dating a guy. She's just like herself out. Like Taylor Swift is at a party at the Super Bowl, just hanging out amongst people. People are filming her constantly. She's keeping her composure. She's so cool. I'm going to see her 3 times in the next week. I'm going to Australia randomly for my boyfriend's friend's wedding. And she happens to be there. Everyone's nice. Like, oh, she happens to be there. I like, no, I didn't like get the wedding scheduled. I had no, it's a coincidence, but I'm going three more times. We went together.
Three? It was so fun. And I can't believe you're going three more times.
We went at SoFi over the summer. And that's what I loved about you. Okay. So you go to, this is Esther for you. Go to the Taylor Swift show and you know, it's like a whole event. You have to like dress up for it. It's like a big thing. And she is just wearing her cool pull off like Adidas, like button up blue Adidas stripe pants with like sneakers and a black shirt. Like she looks like she's going to a Boy Genius show. And but everyone's decked out in sparkles and I'm wearing a ridiculously sparkle
so
dress.
Good. I was so happy to be
but
on your
arm.
But
I was like, arm. I love that you just didn't, like, if I were you in that moment, like, and I wouldn't have been because you're the coolest person ever, but I would have been like, oh no, I didn't dress right for the, like, I would have been so, you just don't even care.
You're
but,
like, so weird that you're like that. Because you're
a
star.
But that sounds like I'm being a brat right now. I want to call out myself, like, I'm doing the thing of like, I love how you dress. You just don't care what people think. I'm
no,
not
I
doing that
it.
Right now.
It's the best compliment.
You do look cool. Like, I think you always look cooler than everyone else. And you're so pretty.
This is how I feel about you. Oh, remember?
Yeah, we do this. We do this all the time.
Also, remember the People's Choice Awards, which you were so generous to take me as your date? Literally, Nikki shows up in like 5-inch heels. I'm in flats. Our height difference is already not great. I literally look like a miniature person next to you. And we're just like, we're getting pictures together.
I love that so much. I know. Yeah, it was this like event that I spent thousands of dollars to get dressed for, and I needed to. I was like gonna be in it. I was presenting or whatever, so it was necessary. But like you just roll up and you were like, you just put it together. You looked so good without having to put in all of this effort. And I love being around you because first of all, you celebrate the women in your life so much. You're just like, you're tried and true a girl's girl. And
that's
what is a girl's girl?
I think, okay, is it kind of like you're into girly stuff and you love your girlfriends and you love to like, I don't know, is that it, right?
I think to me it means a girl that you know isn't going to be threatened by you and you're not going to be threatened, like you, like, I think that's it. It's a girl that you know is not going to get weird around you because you...
Oh my God, that's so niche. It's really hard to find that.
It is.
A girl's girl to me is like a guy's girl.
What do you mean?
Okay.
A girl's girl is a girl that hangs out with all the girls, and if it's not threatening to anybody, then she also can probably hang out with the guys without being threatening to them.
Yeah, probably.
I was thinking that more too, but the definition that you're giving is, I know we're just doing compliments, but like that is part of like the huge reason that I'm drawn to you is because this is a very competitive business. It's very hard, like all genders, everyone's competitive, but like, you are like, there is just none of that with you. And I feel so safe with you. Like, aww. I feel like I could, like, we could tell each other the best news about ourselves. And there would, like, no one, they would just would not be weird.
Yes, absolutely.
I feel this,
same.
I feel this girl's girl romance with you.
Absolutely.
Like, so I'm actually really glad you brought that up because I'm like, I don't know what makes you feel that way or why you can have that with certain people, but I'm just very grateful. And you are a true girl's girl.
Well, thank you. I think that I am. I really love my female friends. I love women so much. But, and I've talked about it a lot on this podcast. I do get threatened by other women, especially women who are female comics who are hilarious. And, you know, sometimes I'll see a clip of yours and be like, why is she so much funnier than me? And I'll get like, there's a moment of like, why am I not that funny? And why didn't I think of that angle for that kind of thing? And I start going in my head. And then I'm just like, so glad I get to witness this and like be friends with, there's a split second of that like anger of like, why am I not this? I want this to go away. It's too good. And now because you're my friend, it's a blink of an eye that goes away. But there's some people who aren't my friends and I can get very threatened by other women. And I want, you know, in years past, I would want to silence them or like, please just go away. Like, I'm not going to promote them. And I think in the past year and a half, maybe 2 years, and I've talked about it on the podcast, I make a conscious effort now when I get jealous. You don't get to be jealous. If you're jealous, Nikki, you have to post about them. You have to spread the word.
Wow.
You have to do the opposite action. Like, if you want them to go away and you want like to, if you see a clip of some girl that's really funny that threatens you, you got to post it.
That's amazing.
You
look
have
at
to
how
do it.
Bold and brave you are to do that, admit to that. Like, that is so cool.
Because I want to compete against the best. I want people to be comparing me to this girl because I want to be on, this is going to push me to be better because I'm inspired by this. Why be sad that I'm not as good at this? Why don't I take this and go like, why don't I find a way to be as, because usually I'm just jealous of authenticity is what I'm like, because that's kind of what I dabble in.
Uh-huh.
And so when I see other girls finding a way to be that in a new way that I haven't, and I go, oh man, why can't I be like that? And instead I just go, okay, how can I find a way to rip that joke off? No, how can I find a way to be that? So, but it's really helped me. And then the other thing is, and this is maybe not the best thing, I will mute if I'm feeling too triggered, because I mute a lot of people because sometimes as a woman, we do compare ourselves to each other. We do live in a patriarchy where isn't space enough for us all, where men, you know, judge us by if we're bangable enough. And when we aren't anymore, it's kind of, we feel like we have to find some other identity to get attention. It's like a very scary world out there. And there does seem to be like not enough space for all of us. And so to protect myself from going down those rabbit holes when I do feel too sick in the head, I will mute.
I think that's
and
absolutely
it's so good.
Like it's crazy to even consider not doing that. Like there will be times where I'm scrolling and whatever it is, I'm like, oh, that person's annoying. And I'm like, why? That's not their fault. It's my fault for being here. I'm like,
yes.
Put the phone down, mute them, or just get off for an hour, whatever it is. Like, get out of that, because no one's making me look at someone else's stand-up clip or photo. Like,
yes,
that's I'm doing that to myself.
Yes.
And so I think any tools like muting, just putting it away, that should be the standard.
It really should
be.
We
shouldn't be subjecting ourselves to shit that's just making us mad.
And the truth is, you think that when you mute something that maybe you've been obsessed with some certain person, maybe it's like an ex-boyfriend or an ex-boyfriend's new girlfriend, and you check it all the time and you think, well, Nikki, if I mute it, I'm gonna go to her on my other account, or if I block her or whatever. It's amazing how if you don't see them on your feed that you truly forget they're alive after a while. Like, it actually works. And I would never have thought it works, but it really does.
It does. This is why advertising works. It's the opposite of advertising. You take it away, you don't see it, you forget.
Yes.
It's like a magic trick. And
it really is.
We just like beat ourselves up. We're like, I'm obsessed with this, but we're not. We're just in like this habit loop that we can just get out of by like taking thoughtful action and changing it.
Yes. This is, you know, my favorite kind of women are the women who are vulnerable, who are open about what they struggle with, or, you know, admit to their privilege, like just admit anything about themselves that they're a little bit ashamed of. I love that. And bringing Taylor Swift back into it, because sometimes with Taylor, I can get into these things of like, she's so freaking perfect. Like, I just zoom in and I look for a crow foot, a crow toe. I look for anything and there's nothing. She's just every inch of her skin. And I go, there's no way this was Photoshopped. This is just an image that just came from Getty like 2 seconds ago. No one put this through anything. This is her. She's just so perfect. The way she speaks, the way, like, even when she does, there's like a whole clip of, it's like the Eras Tour, but it's called like the Errors Tour. And it's like all of her mess ups, and every mess up she has, which is minimal, are all adorable. And like a little slip here and there, because it was like slippery. Like, none of them are her fault of being like unprepared. She's truly a perfect person for my definition of the word. And sometimes I can feel triggered by that. But then, you know, she releases a song like Mirror Ball or Anti-Hero that talks about how she has depression, how she compares herself, how she doesn't feel like she's enough, how she feels like she has to keep working because she's never been a natural. All she does is try. Like, and, you know, that really, I love that no matter how much I project perfection onto people, there's always another story to it.
I agree with you. Also, Anti-Hero is my favorite song in the world ever. And I know it's like,
yes.
Duh. It's
No. It's an amazing song.
It's so good. But what I wanted to say was, I found myself this past year, because you're like an OG Swiftie. I was always more of like a Gaga, like a Britney,
yeah.
Casey Musgraves, Lana. Wait, say that again?
We saw her egg.
Lady Gaga's egg that she came out of on the MTV Movie Awards. We were in Vegas, in Vegas this past weekend.
Oh, that's right.
There's a Lady Gaga museum store.
Yeah. I love Lady Gaga.
I mean, talk about a
We gotta go see her bold, when amazing she's back.
Yes. And we saw Britney together. Let's not forget. Yes. In Las Vegas. Yes. Esther and I went to go see Britney in Vegas.
Britney, Taylor, and Gaga?
Yeah, during her cage tour.
Wow.
She was in an egg too, but it was...
But so, like, I'm a pretty newer Swiftie. Like, you know, the Eras Tour obviously got me, like, all in. Mm. And I have to say, like, all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, my God, she's the most beautiful woman on the planet. But I never thought that. And I'm like, oh, this is so exciting. I actually now know. I find her so perfect and beautiful physically because of, like, what I know about her and her art.
Yes.
So it's not her face. It's not her body. It's not her perfect red lip. It's, like, who she is, what she has to say, how she moves through the world and influences us all in such a positive way. Like, that really is impacting how I literally see her with my
eyes.
It's
like when you fall in love with someone and they can be... And by the way, she's just, without question, like, just a, she is a beautiful person.
Yeah.
But I have fallen so deeply in love with her looks even more so because... I have an intimacy with her now, right? Because, like, she has shared so much in her songs that I feel like I know her. People who, like, make fun of Swifties for having parasocial relationships with her, you don't get it because you don't listen to the music and you don't understand what this woman has shared with us way more than any artist that you might love has shared with you. Like, people don't understand, if they don't know her discography, like, how intimate she can get. And it's almost like, you know, when you, like, have a crush on someone, you're like, I don't know if I really am into the way I'm attracted to them. And then you get to know them and they're so hot to you.
Yeah. Yes.
It is that with her.
If you fall in love with, like, a disgusting hag, you can be attracted to them.
Yes.
Yeah.
It all just switches.
It really is that. Like,
it's what's on the inside that counts.
Yeah.
And we're proving it today.
That's the thing I always question. I'm like, is it? But it kind of
No, what's
it
on
really
the inside
is.
Counts, but that just changes your perception of the outside. Yeah. So really it's the outside counts.
Wait a second, though. I just realized something. Like, being hot on the outside is so much work, but we haven't talked about, like, being hot on the inside is maybe more work.
Yeah, and it's, you don't think about that often because we just assume it comes naturally to people.
Yes.
But it probably doesn't.
And being hot on the inside is just being yourself and being unapologetic about it, but, like, and not like, I'm just gonna sit however I want, or, you know, I don't care, I'm gonna listen to my phone on speaker and I don't care. You know, not like unapologetic in that way, but, like, just being okay with who you are is so hot.
Confidence.
But it's so hard to do. I would think it's harder than getting all the laser facials and all the plastic surgeries and all the Pilates classes. It's been a way harder endeavor for me to be hot inside than outside, but there's so many great examples of women who are embodying that and, like, are just that's what I want to keep pursuing that.
Do you ever, like, because I absolutely relate to how what you're explaining. Like, looks are obviously very important to me as well. Like, I want to be cute, I want to feel good. When you look good, you feel good. When you feel good, you do better, you know, at everything. But do you ever wake up and you're like, maybe you had a little insecurity about your looks, whatever it is, or, you know, anything. And then you're like, oh, my God, I'm so glad I'm a comedian. Like,
yes.
Because, like, the thing that I do is not about my looks. It's about my mind.
Yes. But I struggle with that. I do feel grateful that I'm a comedian all the time because of what you're just saying. Like, it isn't about my looks. But there is a secret part of me because I came up and I was billed as, like, a young, cute comic. Even though I never felt cute, it was part of my branding. And so that is something that, like, I felt like did, whether I wanted it to or not, got me on shows, got me attention early on. And so that is something that I do feel is part of my appeal. And when that goes, like, well, people know I'm not really talented. But the truth is that the more it goes when I age, much like I'm talking about, like, I need to do the inner work because, yeah, my looks are fading. I'm approaching 40. It's going to be downhill. Yes, I'll get more distinguished looking and cooler looking and just more rugged looking.
Rugged.
And like all the good things that come with age, more wisdom in my eyes and all that bullshit. I do have to amp up other things. Like, I am working harder on my stand-up because I don't have my looks to fall. I can't be just cute.
Too.
Like, you just have to. And we're getting older. We're not as tapped into what the younger generation's doing. Like, as you get older, you just have to try harder. You have to work harder to achieve the same thing. So I think it's making me focus on the more important things that I can control.
Totally agree. And I'm actually loving this step and direction for myself so much more. Like, I still look, I love makeup. I love all the girly girl things. But in my 20s, I was a little more into like finding the perfect highlighter and the perfect blush tone yes. for my skin. And it's like, I spend a little less time on that now and a little more time on like, how do I really feel about this subject that I want to do a bit about and testing it? And this version, which might seem sadder because it's like just about being uglier and older.
Yeah.
It's better. I like it better. I'm not just saying that.
If you didn't have to worry about your looks, like what could you do? Like if it was really not a concern at all, like what could you do?
That thought actually just like scares me.
It's not even like inconceivable to me to like pack for shows and not bring the heels and the dresses and the spray tan and all the things. And people say you can just give that stuff up and not worry about it. And like, yeah, try not wearing makeup on stage. And it's like, it will be a thing if I don't. I have to ease into not wearing makeup.
I also wouldn't want to walk away from that because it's so fun.
I do like doing it. Yeah,
like it's fun to feel good about yourself, and there's no shame in it. Like, like we talked about, I'm 8 months pregnant, and the first 3 months of the pregnancy, first trimester, just absolute misery. Couldn't get out of bed. Like, just everything was yucky to me. Even my dog.
Food aversion. Like, my friend is having the hardest time being pregnant with food.
Sucks.
She is nauseous all the time. She can look at a pile of blankets that look like food. Seriously, the other day she sent us pictures of blankets on her couch, and she was like, it just looks like a pile of food. And we were like, what, this like blanket? Like, she's sickened by everything.
Literally, like, I would be in bed, and then Dave would be on a different floor in the home putting a drop of oil in a pan, and I'm like, how dare you?
Yes.
You're trying to kill me. It's so nauseating.
Oh my God.
But my point is like, after being like in 3 months of just not feeling myself at all I craved was like, I wanted to feel pretty. I wanted to like, and why that's okay with me, like wanting to feel pretty and get cute or whatever, is because it's all up to me and how I feel. Like, the makeup that I do, if I like it and then I feel good, I'm the judge of it.
Yeah.
Someone might get a picture of it. It looks really bad and no one else likes it. It's all on me. If I feel good about it, then like, that's awesome. And so like, when you do your shows, when you're on tour and you put your outfit on and your heels and your makeup and you feel so good, there's nothing wrong with that.
You're so
awesome.
Right.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I struggle, though. The other night I was in Vegas and I got this really cute red corset top that I wanted to wear to one of the Chiefs events because it's like red and I wore it with these like high-waisted pants. It was so cute. And then I needed a blazer for it. So I went and got a blazer from Zara and it just like was this cute outfit. And then I was walking around this casino and I got asked, I'm not joking you, twice in a row of like where the bathrooms were. People thought I worked there. And I felt so, it like took me out of it so much. And my boyfriend's laughing. And my boyfriend notoriously doesn't like blazers on women. He's like, I don't know where women, I've never once seen a blazer on a woman and thought that was like a good look. And that, whenever I wear a blazer around him, I feel, even though I feel him, and I tried to do the thing of like, well, I like it.
That's what I do with Dave too.
But I gotta be honest, it felt a little bit, I wasn't as excited. I'm like, I know I'm turning off my boyfriend actively right now. It doesn't, so I don't know if this is good enough for me, even though I just kept being like, well, I like it.
You'll trick yourself.
And he's
yourself.
Like, it's fine. He goes, no, like you shouldn't dress for me. It's not like every woman shouldn't wear a blazer because I don't think they're good looking. I just never have seen one that makes me think that that's like a good look for a woman. And I'm like, I get it. Like it, but that stuff that sticks in my head now. And now I'm like, oh God, every time if I wear a blazer around him, I'm like, it's a sign of like, I don't want to have sex with you. It's like, that's how I feel what I'm saying. Like he's not gonna be attracted to me. And that's important. Like being attractive to men.
Yeah.
It's still important.
Yeah,
it's like,
and that's
but I
okay.
do agree with you that it feels good to feel good about yourself. But I recently like went a little darker with my hair color because I'm tired of getting my hair done. That's a thing that I'm like, you know, I've been complaining about it for years of my life of like every 6 weeks I have to sit somewhere for 4 hours with someone I don't want to talk to.
Oh, I know. That's how I feel about
nails.
And
sit in this lighting and stare in a mirror in this horrible lighting with these magazines that are just like all they have is like Vogue and People, just magazines that are filled with people that are hot. And
you should be able to select conversation preferences like on Uber.
Oh my God, yes.
I never, by the way, ever click.
No, I like, feel like they're going to hate me.
I know, I never click.
Oh,
it.
I do quiet.
You do?
Yeah, and sometimes they give you shit. They go, I hear, so I see that you don't want conversation and I just go,
Oh my God. Yeah, that's what I think is going to happen. That's what I'm avoiding. But then I do have a long conversation.
Sorry, it's an option. I'm doing it.
Wait, but your like piercing icy blue eyes with dark hair would be so sexy.
Okay.
Like I could see that being so hot.
All right.
There's something going on there.
I think it might be the blazer of hair for my boyfriend. So we'll see.
Speaking of a blazer, my thing is like every 2 weeks I'll be in the car with Dave and he'll be like, is that like glitter on your face? And I'm just like, no.
Oh God. Yeah, it just accidentally got there. You know, I just spent $27 on this little tube of it. Yeah. Yeah, they like hate it. Like
they hate glitter.
They just any like obvious effort. I don't mind glitter. Like that. You don't mind glitter?
Really?
No, I don't mind glitter. There's a lot of things I do mind, but not glitter.
What do you mind?
You might just not know what glitter is. No offense. Like,
okay, yeah.
Like shimmer.
Maybe I don't know what glimmer, what shimmer, I don't know what this is.
I feel like guys don't really know it.
Oh, yeah. So when I know when I see it.
Yeah.
I don't like lip injections.
Yeah.
Like really,
yeah.
Especially if they're really big. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like really heavy makeup, mm-hmm. I think. I don't like big scars.
I think scars are
bleeding,
so cool.
Ulcers.
Yeah, those are so in right now, though.
Remember when wearing a Band-Aid was in? Like the kids were putting on a Band-Aid with no injury?
Yeah,
that's cool.
Is that still cool?
Yeah, I think now you can do pimple patches like out Starface. And about.
Starface. Really?
Yeah. That's that? Cool.
Starface is like the coolest thing. Even Gen Alpha is like, we're making this work. They just wear little pimple patches and they're cute. And so it's like, look, I'm showing off that I have acne and not covering it up.
That's awesome.
I know. It's
oh
cute.
My God. Does acne need like a rebrand?
Yeah, it got it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Because it's so unavoidable. It's so just, it doesn't mean any, it makes you feel like you look dirty or that you're doing something wrong, but it does not mean that you are. And it's just, it's the fucking, it's the worst. I feel so bad for people who suffer with it. I love that for them.
I know.
I would have loved to wear a bunch of goddamn stickers on my face in high school.
I know. I wear them.
I want bag stickers. I want like stickers for everything. I'll never forget. You ever remember like the worst like comments boys made about your face or like anything in high school? I remember this one time John Reinert was just like, ugh, you look tired today.
Oh,
and I
brother.
Just will never forget. And I remember my eyes were really puffy and I went and looked in the mirror and I was like, you're just like it. I remember where it happened, where I was walking, what I was wearing. Like,
you were in high school.
Yeah,
that's so funny because like a tired high schooler, that sounds like such a good look. Like,
oh my God,
I'm like so into like when young people look tired. I'm
when
like
they have a hoodie with their hood up and a coffee.
Yeah,
in their
that's
hands.
Cool. Eyes that's are cool dark. Like, that's so cool.
Yeah, sometimes I do look really young when I'm tired because my face is really puffy.
I know.
Yes. Sometimes I like it now. Yeah. Okay, you're like studying the trends on TikTok. Like, you're very active on TikTok.
Yes, I'm.
Do you feel
a
loser. Like it's good? No, you're not at all. I think it's cool. Like that. What's going on there? Like, what are you looking at? Like,
what's the latest?
How are you feeling about Gen Z, Gen Alpha? I guess
so wait,
is the one
Gen
after
Alpha
them.
Now?
No, that's after Gen
that's
Z.
Oh my God,
one.
There's another one.
Yeah,
I didn't know that existed.
Yeah,
it seems like people are really. Like all of the things that I always thought were in style or cool, but apparently weren't. But it's like being really authentic and honest and open about your flaws. And also like being like budgeting out loud is like a new topic. So it's like being instead of quiet luxury, which like we're moving away from already. Like that's the thing. The trends move so fast.
Yeah.
Now that it's like, you'll be dizzy if you try to keep up, which there was a minute where I was like, oh, I'll buy this. And then now I'm just like, no, whatever. I can't keep up. But like budgeting out loud is very popular, being like vocal about things you can't afford or like how you're trying to save money and not being embarrassed of that. Because don't
That's
you guys
cool.
feel like the last like 5, 10, whatever years, it was all about like, I've got the Louis Vuitton and I'm rich and this and that and just showing that off. That's like icky now, I think.
That's great.
I know.
We need that.
I know. It's so much better. Like,
we need rap songs about that.
Yeah.
Saving
money.
$5 almost my yacht and layaway.
I know. We need Little Dicky. We need a Jewish rapper
right.
to
Little
save
Dicky
us.
Probably already did that. Now that I think about it.
Yeah. Okay. Little That's Dicky. Interesting that they're being, they're, it's cool now to be like careful about money.
Yeah. And I.
How? Because there's no other way. We're not going to survive unless we get cool about.
No.
Being
no one has
less.
Money.
No
There's
one.
No money left.
No.
No. The so these people. Kids are just walking around with like pimple faces talking about how they're poor.
Yeah, this is what's very cool, guys. Trust me. I'm not trying to sabotage you
but
at
don't
all.
Young kids love Sephora now. Like, aren't 10-year-olds like
yes.
populating Sephora now? Which, aren't they obsessed with skincare? What's that about?
Okay, so this is like surprising people, which I'm not surprised by this at all. Don't you feel like when you buy makeup and skincare, it's just like buying toys?
Polly Pocket?
Yes.
Mm. Yes.
Like, of course the 10-year-olds are going crazy at Sephora.
They're little like Barbie accessories. They're all in a beautiful, like girly packaging.
It's made for kids. Skincare
kids
is for
love
kids.
Opening and closing something, and a little. There's a little brush that comes with it. Yes, it's like little pet shop, like little thing. It's totally made for little kids.
It's collectibles. It's fun.
Yes.
Like, I'm not surprised by this at all. And I think, like, also for me, what got me really into skincare, like in the 2015-16, was like, I got really bad anxiety when there was all the like mass shootings and stuff, and I just felt like, oh, I don't want to go out, I don't want to do anything. And so like watching skincare videos on YouTube became
calmed
very
you.
Soothing and this like form of self-care. But I personally do not believe in any of it anymore.
I just watched a clip of you on Whitney's podcast and you don't moisturize.
I don't. Do you lotion your body?
Yes. Because I'm part of the problem, because it's like it's like chapstick. I wouldn't need it if I didn't do it once. So because
I don't believe
I started,
that one though.
I don't use chapstick. And sometimes I'm a little chapped up, but like I never use chapstick.
I never use it. I believe that you get like your body gets used to it, then it gets dry faster.
Yeah, it needs
faster.
It. Like if I go, I could rid myself of the need of lotion if I went months without it. I do believe that. But because I've used it, I need it. And my skin will be so flaky and dry and disgusting.
Like, what lotion do you use?
I just use whatever. I for a while I was on this stuff that smells like medicated because I had like bumpy skin called Emlactin.
Okay.
Mm. And that stuff was really good for like Rosebud Baker turned me onto that years ago. But I just use like whatever I just take hotel lotions and use those, just body lotion. And I really just do my legs. That's where it really needs it. Arms, nuts. That's how I know because I don't do anything to my arms and my arms are fine. And
I wonder
not dry.
If this is spray tan related. This is like a spray tan maintenance thing that you're doing.
I definitely have to do lotion for spray tan, but I don't get them all the time. But do you not like, what's your skincare routine for your face? And I'm going to ask you the same thing, Brian. Because Brian, you have amazing skin.
You do have really good skin.
Don't pull at it like that.
Are you 13?
Doesn't he have great skin? It's like supple. It has like such a good coloring to it.
Yeah.
There's no blemishes. It's really good skin. You have great face skin. So what do you, Brian, we'll start with you. What do you do?
I just put moisturizer on it and I
kind? Kiehl's. Men love Kiehl's.
I know.
I don't know what that is. Maybe I need that because the moisturizer that I've been using is no longer being made and I have like 3 bottles left and it's gonna run out.
Okay.
What is it?
It's just like a standard, probably like I don't know, like Neutrogena, might as well be.
Sure.
Some standard, or Olay.
Okay.
Some standard brand that has like nothing in it, that's like dermatologist approved,
gotcha.
No scent. And I put it on my face and it does like probably nothing.
Like night and day? And do you wear sunscreen?
Only after I shower and I just don't go in the sun. I think that's what it is.
Right.
I have low vitamin D. I have to take vitamin D pills. The doctor said you don't go in the sun enough.
Yeah.
I think everyone has
I think everyone should take vitamin D pills.
No, I'm special.
My doctor said I have another thing, but that methylfolate I have to take. It's so weird to see like on your thing that like, and one vitamin D for the rest of your life, just for the rest of your life as like a supplement is just scary. But yeah, got it. In the summer I could take off a little bit, but I don't think so because I wear SPF too much. It covers it all up. What do you do for your skincare?
I'm doing very little right now because pregnancy has just like made me not care about anything.
Oh, that's so interesting. All my friends are not doing anything that are pregnant because they're scared of putting chemicals in their body. And you're just like, it makes me not care. They like won't touch any. They won't.
Really?
They won't wear like Lululemon leggings because there could be plastic in the leggings and stuff.
God.
Like they're at that level. Yeah. I mean, fertility stuff scares every women of a certain age.
Every fetus that gets tested has plastic in it. Like there's no escaping it. So I'm just like, chill about that. I am eating fish. I am also controversially eating sushi. There's a lot of research that like that's not like basically there's all these rules about pregnancy and they're just like these really strict rules that no one has like looked into for a while. And there's this book Expecting Better by Emily Oster that she kind of like busts the myths.
Okay.
So I'm having,
have you been eating peanut butter?
Yeah, why?
Well, I believe that parents should eat peanut butter to give their kids an immunity to peanut allergies. It's not based on no science at all.
I've actually heard that, but I'm like, does that mean that like all peanut allergies are just because mommy didn't crave peanut butter?
I think, and they don't feed the kids peanut butter also. And then they grow up, they turn 6 and they go to kindergarten and they're exposed to peanuts for the first time in their lives.
Okay.
And their body's not used to it and they have a reaction.
We'll
I don't know if that's true or not. That's probably a complete anti-science lie. But I do believe you should be eating gobs of peanut butter every day to avoid
if you're a pregnant woman. Okay.
Yes.
Well, we'll get you some on the way up. What do you do for skincare normally? I'm just
very little. So as you know, and you were a guest on, I used to host a skincare podcast called Glowing Up with Caroline Goldfarb, who I know you love and loves you. And after like 5 years of just trying every product, reading about, researching, being obsessed, I'm like, the opposite effect happened to me. I don't believe in any of it. I think there's like some science that like vitamin C serums are good for whatever, but an SPF obviously, but like I almost do next to nothing. Like I will maybe like do a little oil cleanser to get the makeup off the face.
Yeah.
Maybe even just like wipe it with a toner, a micellar water.
Yeah.
Maybe an oil if I'm feeling a little dry, but I gotta be so low maintenance.
Yes.
Mm. I hate maintenance.
Me too.
And you're gonna run out of time. Once you have the baby, it's like all that time runs away.
I know.
I just bought one of these Solo Wave things that you like.
Oh, I have that.
You're the supposed red to light. Do like 10 minutes a day. And even that, I haven't even done it once. Well, and I'm supposed to be doing it every single day.
Okay, so
I can't do this stuff.
I have that. And then I was like, immediately, I'm like, why don't I just have a red light mask?
This is. I know. Now I have to like comb over it.
I know. So then I just stopped using it. I never got the red light mask, but I just.
I had one of those. I just give them all to my sister eventually, and then she doesn't use them. And then she's going to pass them down to her daughter who won't use them. But yeah, I do this. I just use one serum and that's all I use. And I wash my face every night, and then I don't wash my face in the morning anymore because Salma Hayek said she didn't. And so that gave me license to stop washing my face in the morning because you want to have the natural oils.
Agreed.
And then just put then an SPF. It's like so simple, but I do get laser facials. I do get microneedling. I do get all that stuff. And
microneedling is the one that I'm very interested. I keep saying I want to do it because that's the one that seems like it has some scientific backing.
I think they definitely do. Yeah. I mean, there are certain celebrities that have amazing, amazing skin tone. And it's like, it's got to be that stuff. It's nothing topical. I just am not buying it.
That's how I feel.
Don't spend any more than $10 on whatever you use on your face. I think the stuff I use is $8 and I will use it for life. I'm never going to change.
I know. Like, unless it's like, oh, I love the way this smells and how it makes me feel. Like, sure. That's kind of what I'm looking for if there's like a feel good experience. But I'm with you. Like, I just kind of don't buy into it anymore. Maybe it's like our age. We've just like seen it all. Mm-hmm. I also think like diet is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and water. Which water. I can't seem to do that.
I hate water.
I know.
Dry skin starts from within.
Yes.
That's the thing. That people say.
If there's anything we've learned here today, that's like, it's what's inside that counts.
Yeah.
to make your outside great.
And I went to the dermatologist today.
No way.
Right before I got here.
What for?
Just, I go yearly to get checked, everything checked out.
Did they say you had great face?
Well, it's just interesting. When you go to the dermatologist, they just go through over your body and they point out all the things that are wrong with it.
Yeah.
They go like, oh, you got a rash, you got a mole there, you're washing your hands too much, you need to use a different shampoo. And it's like,
there's so many new growths that show up as you age. I have a skin tag on my thigh that I just like pulling at. And I don't even want it to go away. I like it. Like when I'm stressed out in bed, I like just play with it. It's not a skin tag. It's like a little. I shouldn't have said that, but it's gross. But it's International Women's Day, so I feel free that I can talk about it because I do believe it's a female skin tag. But it's just like sprouts overnight. And then you took a picture of me at the game where I'm like with binoculars, and I see these three lumps on the side of my face, little bumps, and I go, I gotta go to the dermatologist to like, I don't want those anymore. And I just never even thought to go to the dermatologist. I just go to a esthetician. I never thought like I should go and get the like health of my skin checked out, not just the aesthetics.
Well,
even though this is aesthetic.
Gotta go.
In LA though, you go to the dermatologist and it's not like how it was back in the Midwest. They're like, now would you like to see what we could do to inject you? And like, I'm like, I didn't ask for that. Like, this is
supposed to be a doctor.
I know. So it's all the same at this point.
Okay. That's good to know.
But one time I had this rash on my stomach and not to brag. And I went to the dermatologist and she's like looking at my stomach and she's like, oh, this looks like secondary syphilis.
What the?
Whoa.
And I was like, I have an STD that I missed the whole first round of it and I'm on to the second round. I was so freaked out. It wasn't that, but like there was a day where I was like, wow, I'm living a dumpster life.
Was it true?
No, it wasn't that.
Okay, thank God.
It was just literally
that's
like nothing.
So rude.
Yeah, what a thing to say.
You don't even have the original version.
No, I know.
You have the sequel. And you're so, so awful.
I just missed a whole version.
Syphilis too.
I love you so much, Esther. Thank you for being here for this special show. I mentioned at the start of the show, this is the Nikki Glaser Podcast, and we are a part of the International Women's Day celebration this week. And for more programming honoring the incredible women at the network and worldwide, head over to iHeart Podcast International Women's Day feed by searching Women Take the Mic. Wherever you look for your podcasts, we are featured alongside such shows as Dear Chelsea, you know that, Chelsea Handler Show, and very special episodes with Dana Schwartz. That's Women Take the Mic on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Esther, I love you so much. Thank you for coming on 8 months pregnant.
When I asked you to be here,
I was like, there's no way. And you said yes. And you drove all the way here. And I love you so much
for it. Thank you. And I'm so sad that you're going to be out of town for my movie premiere.
I know. Oh, my God. Can we talk about that? You have a new movie coming out called Drugstore June.
Which we tried to get you in, but you were busy
on
tour. But you have to be in the next one.
I would love to. I can't wait to see this. You got to check out the trailer for Drugstore June, Esther's new movie coming out. When is it coming out and where can people find it? Because I cannot wait to see this.
Select theaters February 23rd.
That's cool.
Wow. expanding cities March 1st.
It's my birthday.
Oh, my mind's March 2nd.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Twin. But yeah, I'm really excited for people to see it. I know you'll love it. Also, when you were on my show Alone Together, it was the best day of my life. You're such a funny actress. Like, I'm going to make you be like a movie star. Like, you, I know you never want to do stuff because you're just like, you just want to be you.
You made me feel so good that day because you are such a naturally amazing actress. I can't wait to see you in this.
Her improv is so good.
And thank you for asking me to be in your movie. That was so nice. I wish I could have made that day work because I can't wait to see the
next
movie.
Whatever I'm doing next, I'm going to plan it.
Can we write a movie together? I just want to work with you all the time.
Yes. Let's actually talk about
that. We're going to start that right now. All right, guys. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Don't be cut, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We are talking every single episode of every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits. Streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.